started a few weeks ago going through the Psalms of David. And now we're on chapter 6 here. And some short psalms. I don't know what we're going to do when we get to some long Psalms of David. But we'll see. We'll get through them as well. Psalm 6 is where we are today. And we're going to look at this passage together. We'll read it. And then we'll have a word of prayer again. And then we'll dive into it. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Lord, how long is this going to keep going on? Is David's request here in question. Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave who shall give thee thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief, and it waxeth old because of mine enemies. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. Father, I pray that over the next few minutes as we look at this passage together, Lord, that you would guide us, and I pray that you would just help us. Thank you for the blessings you've given to us, and I pray that as we study this psalm this morning, that it would be a blessing, an encouragement, and also those that just go through it with their health, that they can find some encouragement through this passage this morning. Lord, we love you, we need you, we thank you for Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. As I mentioned, some of the Psalms of David, we kind of know the historical background, when they were written, and we're not sure. This is one of those Psalms that we're not sure when it was written. There are many people that have many different ideas about this Psalm. And that's why sometimes commentaries are wonderful, and sometimes commentaries are not so wonderful. It's one of the problems with commentaries, not one of them was there when David penned this Psalm. So they can all take a great guess and think they got it figured out. But at the end of the day, they're kind of just guessing to see how it is. Kind of like the weather people. They just guess, oh, it's warm this morning. It's going to be a warmer day. I don't know if you realize, like a few days ago, it was a little cooler in the morning. I knew it was going to be a cooler day because it was cooler in the morning. It just works that way. Or I call my mom and ask her, how are your bones feeling today? And when they're a little bit more sore, it's starting to cool off just a little bit. I probably call Russ and do the same thing right there. But as we don't know the historical setting of this psalm, but we know that David is the one who penned these words. Now you'll notice, as we looked at a couple weeks ago, it's to the chief musician again on Niganoth. Niganoth means the stringed instruments. So this was a congregational song for the stringed instruments to play along with. And then it says upon, look at that word, Sheminith. Anybody know what Sheminith means? The eighth part. So it's like, it was the octave that they would sing it in. I don't know. That's, Sheminith means eighth part, kind of. So anyways, they probably sang in different keys and all that wonderful stuff. So it's a different key. Just like, how great thou art this morning. We sang it, I believe, with two flats in it. We sang it before where it's just in the key of C. There's different keys. You can make it higher or lower, anywhere in between. So the person who sung this psalm, was pretty picky about what key it was in. So that's all that we know. Well, as we look here at Psalm 6, there's a lot to look at, and we have just a little bit of time this morning. You'll notice that David starts out the psalm and some people think maybe David was in sin, and he's asking God not to keep his health bad because of the sin that he was in. That could be. Or have you ever thought, you know, when you're going through it, when your health isn't well or something else, do you ever think that maybe God's judging you because of something you've done? And it might not be that God was judging David at all, but because of the struggles and where he was feeling like God was doing that. And if you know God real well, as David would, then he should never have had to say the things he said in verses 1 and 2, because that's not how our God is. God is not vengeful. He doesn't rebuke us or discipline us in anger. We do stuff like that, right? That's why the Bible says that we shouldn't do that. But God doesn't do it in his anger. God is a righteous, he's a holy God, he's a loving God. And so as we look at this psalm this morning, it's a great teacher for us on the subject of sickness, faith, and healing. And sometimes we look and we wonder, why doesn't God heal people? Why does he heal certain people? It's a great question that we don't have the answer to. But what we do know is that God does know what's best. And you'll notice that David, throughout this psalm, he goes from asking the Lord not to rebuke him in anger to telling God what he's going through. And then he closes out the psalm by putting his confidence in the Lord and trusting the Lord to get him through no matter what. One of the things that you'll notice as we study these Psalms of David so far, they're all David talking to God. And we've seen so many different ways. We can go back to chapter 3 and the fact that David was praying for protection for himself from the enemies on the outside. And then we see, even last week in chapter number 5, they were now talking bad about him and slandering him. And what David would do, he would just talk to God. Let me just encourage you this morning, before I even say a word or give you point number one, just the importance of prayer. How important it is to spend time with God. And David was known as a man after God's own heart. And one of the ways that I think we see throughout Scripture that David was a man after God's own heart is by the way he prays. And how when anything that's going on, we see it over and over again. As we get through, there's going to be 70-plus psalms that David wrote. It's a lot of psalms. But when David was going through it, where did he turn to? He turned to the Lord. He didn't go to Facebook and give all of his complaints to Facebook. He didn't get on the phone or text or do these things. He went to God. And a lot of times, we don't go to God. And we can look at the armor of God. It's found in there in Ephesians chapter number 6, at the end it talks about the sword of the Spirit. And at the end there it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. The Bible talks about praying without ceasing, the importance of prayer. And maybe we sang that song a few minutes ago, Sweet Hour of Prayer. When's the last time you had sweet 10 minutes of prayer? Or 5 minutes? Or an hour? But what I love, one of the things I love about David is that as everything's against him, he goes to the Lord. Every one of us should go to God with everything. Whatever's going on. School's getting ready to start here. Parents, I hope you've been praying to God for your children to have a great school year. That shouldn't have just started today. It should have been building up till now. Got some in the room, they're going to be getting married in not too long. You should be praying for that marriage now and not waiting till later. Now should be the time. If you're in high school, late high school, you should be praying for your future marriage and what God has in your life. As you have needs and as you have requests and just for guidance in life, you need to go to God. If prayer was easy, everybody would do it. But it's not. It takes work. But it's so rewarding. When's the last time you just spent time with God? I would encourage you to do it daily, multiple times a day. How we need God, how we need to pray. This psalm really is a prayer of healing that David gives. First of all, number one, as we dive into our outline today, we see that David asks God to discipline in mercy. Now, as I said, was David in sin at this time? Or was David wandering? You know, we look at Job. You think about Job? Remember how his friends came and said, well, God's only judging you because you've done something wrong. God's only attacked your health. God's only done these things because there's something, you're not living for him or doing what you should. And David here in this psalm starts out by talking to the Lord. And as he says, O Lord, rebuke me not. Don't rebuke me in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. And as we look at those words, David, as he goes to God, he's like, Lord, I don't know if this is because of sin. I don't know what this is about. And maybe he knew it was sin. Did you ever have something happen and you know the Lord's trying to get your attention? and you know you need to straighten up. I've had, anybody else in the room have those moments? Oh no, I forgot. We're dealing with perfect people. I forgot. That's why you have a pastor like me. Oh, I see a few hands. Yeah. There are some times where literally it's like, I know the Lord's doing this to me because of what I've done and because he's trying to help me do better. And so David here, as we see these words, and you got to understand, people get sick. People have health problems, major health problems. We live in a world where there's cancer. We live in a world with dementia and things of the mind. We live in a world with sicknesses all around us. Let me give you a couple thoughts on health as we before we dive deep into this message this morning. But number one, bad health can be due to the fact that we live in a corruptible world, which means that we bear the normal sufferings of accidents and diseases and aging and dying bodies. That's part of this sin-cursed world. And there's nothing you and I can do about it. You can be the healthiest person in the world and eat only healthy food. Never touch a fried Oreo in your life. You can do all of those things, run every day, whatever the case may be, and you're still going to die someday. There's no escaping it. There's no fountain of youth. Someday, every one of us is going to die. We age. And if next year I'll be 40. Starting to see some wrinkles forming underneath these eyes that weren't there before. I'm shocked Nick can see through any of the wrinkles below his eyes to see that, but I'm just teasing right there. But it's life. Sickness is going to come, and there's nothing you and I can do about it. That's one way that sickness comes. Another one, number two, we see that Scripture teaches that bad health can be due to satanic attack. And that's possible as well. We have two examples of that. We think about Job and we think about Paul. The Bible tells us in Job 2, verse 7, so went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. Who did that? Did God do that? No, Satan did this. We look at Paul and we think about that thorn in his flesh. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Look what it says, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And we don't know exactly what Paul's sickness was, but we know he sought the Lord three times to take it away from him. And so we live in a sin-cursed world, so sickness is going to come. You cannot avoid it. Bad health, your bones starting to hurt, all these things. That's a natural part of life. There's also times that bad health comes because Satan's after you. And there are times, doesn't it just seem like there are times in life where Satan's just after you more than other times? To me, it feels that way. I feel like for myself right now, I feel like Satan's coming after me right now more than he has in a long time for some reason. And I don't know why. It could just be me, but whatever the case may be, it just seems like there are times he just pushes the needle and he presses in a little bit harder, like this is the time I'm going to get them. And he did it in Job's life. He did it in Paul's life. There's also a third way when it comes to health. And Scripture also teaches that the Lord disciplines us, trains us, and because of our sins, by allowing us to suffer illness and pain. You know, we can look at several verses. James chapter number 5, verse 13 through 16 says, is there any among you afflicted? What's the first thing? Let him pray. Isn't that what David was doing? Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And then there's a colon that says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Do you see in that verse right there, it talks about as you're praying for healing and even you lay oil and hands on a person, it says if you committed sins, it could be because of sin. You know, we look at the Lord's Supper. and those in Corinth that weren't eating of it worthily. Bible tells us in verse 29 and 30, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And because of this," look at this, "for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." And that doesn't mean that many went and took a nap. That means they died because they didn't discern the Lord's body. So there are times that our sin causes illnesses and things in our life. But may I just remind you not to judge anyone and where they're at if they've sinned or not. Because we could all sit here all day long and be like, Russ must be a pretty big sinner here to still be in pain almost 40 years later. And you'd be foolish to say something like that, because you don't know God's plans or what God has done in Russ's life. You can't judge someone and look at them. Only God knows the heart, and only God knows the person. Why things happen, why health is the way it is, we don't always have the answers to those things. But, even in Psalm 119, there's a couple of verses. Verse 67 says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." Sometimes the Lord has to afflict us a little bit, discipline us to get us back on track, because he loves us. Just as a parent would discipline and train a child, God will do that with us. Psalm 119, verse 71 says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." And sometimes we need that. Sometimes we're a little stubborn with the Lord. Anybody stubborn in the room? Yeah, there's some of us that are stubborn in the room. Your pastor's never been stubborn a day in his life. I mean, there's never been a day in my life I have not been stubborn. That's what I meant to say. Sorry, I just said that a little bit wrong. But we see that David, he goes to the Lord, and he asks the Lord to discipline him in mercy. And sickness and pain can have a profound effect on our attitude with God and understanding his ways. It's one of the things that amazes me with Russ at times, and I'm not picking on Russ, but I am talking about him a little bit. It amazes me his attitude towards the Lord most of the time is really, really good. But I don't know how I would be if I lived almost 40 years in pain. And I know not every day is perfect. It's like my mom. There are days that she is good about it, and there's other days that she's like, why me, once in a while? And that happens. And over time, that's going to happen. There's many others in this room that could say the same thing. But you got to understand, and those of you that don't live in constant pain don't know what that's like. We go through days and times. I've been going through this foot issue where every time I walk, it's literally like a knife is stabbing through my foot. I just got another treatment the other day. It had been a while since I'd gotten one. And this is the first time in 4 months I'm standing here so far, and there's no pain in my foot. It's been a long time. But literally everywhere I walk, every time I run, everything I do, there's just a stabbing pain through my foot. But this morning, I don't feel that. There are many that go through pain day in and day out. And I don't know about you, but when I'm going through that pain, sometimes my attitude isn't the greatest with everybody. I might be a little short with my family. I might not be as thrilled with the Lord as what I am at other times. Because pain has a way of, I don't even know how to word it. And there are many others that could word it much better than what I'm wording it right here. But you got to understand, even, I believe, as you look at David here, what he is going through, even David's, you think about his perspective of God, is flawed right here because of the pain and the suffering he's going through. God will not rebuke you in anger. God will not chasten you in his hot displeasure. That's not who God is. God loves his children today, doesn't he? Will he discipline us? Yes, he will. Will there be times where he's not happy? Of course there are those moments. But the Lord has already put on Jesus Christ all of our iniquity. He's punished him for us. There are times that he trains us, times that he helps us, but we got to remember the fact is that the Lord loves us. When he rebukes you today, you know how he's going to rebuke you? It begins by his word. His word will convict you of your sin. The Holy Spirit is there. God's word is truth. He'll guide us to the truth. And then if that sin continues on and we don't take the rebuking of the word of God and the Spirit of God and that conviction that's there, we see that there are times that he has to correct us and help set us straight. But one of the blessings that we know is that if the Lord loves us and if we're a child of his, he's going to correct us. If you are not a child of God, you never have to worry about him correcting you. I want him to correct me. It proves the fact that I'm his child. It's a good thing. And so David here, he prays to God and asks God to discipline him in mercy. But number two this morning, David prayed for God to heal him. Look at verse 2 through verse number 7. Look at what it says. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. You know, sometimes I hear people say, it's not good for you to pray for yourself. I don't think that's true. Do you see it here in this psalm? David's praying for himself. Well, that's a selfish prayer. I don't think that's a selfish prayer. I also think you shouldn't only pray for yourself and pray for others, but there are times you need to pray for yourself. And we see David said, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me. My bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Read, and you see, not only is his body hurting, but his soul's hurting. And a lot of times, depression, anxiety, those things come along with the pain. And you can have body hurting, bodies aching, but you also have that mind, the soul, the mind, all those things going on inside. And that's what David's going through here. That's what he's talking about. Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O, save me for thy mercy's sake. And David even says, look at this. For in death there's no remembrance of thee. Hey, if you take my life, how am I going to praise you? Well, he'd still praise him up in heaven, but he wasn't thinking about that fact. He's like, Lord, if you take my life and this sickness takes me, I'm not going to be able to do anything for you. It says, and in the grave, who shall give thee thanks? And all when we get to heaven, we'll all be thanking him. And so, but David wasn't thinking about those things. Verse 6, I am weary with my groaning. Like, this is wearing me out. At the night, I make my bed to swim. What does that mean? He's crying through the night. The pain he's going through physically, the pain emotionally that David's going through. And it says, I water my couch with my tears. In the night he's crying, during the day he's crying. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. And not only was David hurting inside his body physically, emotionally he's hurting, then people, what they're saying was hurting him, his enemies. And he's praying for God to heal him. He went to God. We see, first of all, letter A, that he described his condition. There in verse 2 and 3, it says, my bones are vexed. You see that right there? And then he said, my soul is also sore vexed, but thou, O Lord, how long? We see, first of all, number one, that he was physically weak. He was physically weak. That word vexed means exhausted, feeble, unable to care for yourself. It's literally what it means. David felt as if his life was falling apart and like he was falling away. And, you know, you look at that phrase there, where it says, look at what he says. He says, my soul is also sore vexed. Sorry, verse number 2. It says, for I am weak. That word weak is the one I meant to say, is the one that means exhausted, feeble, or unable to care for yourself. That word vexed is a different word. That word vexed literally means, it literally, when you talk about this, it's like, you know how in the Bible refer to trees and things where their leaves are withering away and they die? The book of Joel, it refers to Israel, and their leaves are withering away. That word vexed is like how a tree is dying. The leaves are falling off, and it's shriveling up and dying. That's how David was feeling. He's physically weak. He feels like his body's dying. And then letter B, we see that he was in severe emotional distress as well. His His soul was in intense trouble. He trembled not only from emotional or physical pain, but also emotional anguish. And I don't know about you, when my mind's not right, that wears me out more than when my body doesn't feel right. It's even like when you're working, sometimes you have a physical job or a job where you use your brain all the time. And the ones who have just the physical job think, oh, those people that use their brain all day, they don't get tired like I do. Your brain constantly working, it wears you out. And David, not only is his body, is he feeling weak and feeling the pain in his body, but emotionally, he's very weak and he feels all these things. And all of this is going on. And I think about, and you think about when someone goes through a lot of pain and suffers with depression and all these different issues. And, you know, the Bible talks about in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perisheth, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And how does that renewing come? That renewing comes as we keep our minds on the Lord and keep our focus on His Word and how we need that in our lives. But David, as we see this, he's telling God, this is how I'm feeling. This is how my body's doing. This is how my mind's doing. Have you ever thought that God, you know, have you ever thought as you're talking to God and you're telling Him things like that, that He already knows it? He does already know it. So why do we need to talk to Him and tell Him what He already knows? I think it's good for us and God. It's good for us to learn to communicate. Especially with, that's what a relationship's all about. Because a lot of times we are not very good at communication. We're not. And with God, we need to communicate. We need to, and I think this is, as David, he just tells God, this is how I'm feeling. It would be good for you to tell God how you're feeling. Let Him know what you're going through. As you're going through it physically or emotionally, whatever the case may be. But he describes his condition, but letter B, we see that he could no longer bear the pain and suffering. He couldn't take it anymore. Look what it says there in verse 4. Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All the night I make my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. And David says, literally, I can't take it anymore. Have you ever gotten to the point in your life where, be it physical pain or be it mental issues going on, where you're just like, I just can't take much more. I can't take this. And David says, God, I need you to do something here because I can't take it anymore. And then you got those wonderful Christians out there. God won't give you more than you can handle. So you must be a strong person for the Lord to give you so much to handle. There's no Bible in any of that. The Bible never says that. But God does say to Paul that His grace is sufficient. And where you and I can't make it through, with God we can. But David's at the point where he's like, he can no longer take it anymore. We see, number one, the fact that he was weary and worn out. He was weary and worn out. Totally exhausted. Verse 6, it says, I am weary with my groaning. That word weary, it means totally exhausted, even to the point of gasping for breath, because it's too hard to even do that. David's worn out. You know, as it says there, I'm weary with my groaning. That word groaning there, the moaning, in unceasing agony. I've been to the hospital several times with many people. And towards the end of life, or someone who's just been broken something really bad in their back or in their legs or somewhere, you just hear that moaning going on. David was at the point, he's worn out, he can't take it anymore, what's going on? We see, number two, the fact that he moaned in unceasing agony. And then we see, number three, that his pain was so great and his suffering that he couldn't sleep. some of you in this room, pain and things that you can't sleep. It's a while back where I was going through a little spell of that doesn't sound good. That's not a good word to use. I was going through a lot of anxiety over some things. And I'd lay in bed several hours not being able to sleep, just laying there with my eyes open thinking on things. And then you know what the other problem with that is? When you've been a Christian a long time, you know scriptures. And the scriptures are a blessing. But there are times that the scriptures are not a blessing. Don't take that bad. But when you're laying there and you can't go to sleep and your mind is racing and you know what popped into my head? The Lord gives his beloved sleep. That's not the verse you want to think of right then, right? Maybe I'm not one of God's beloved. He's not letting me sleep. That's where one of those verses is not quite the encouragement it is at other times. But his pain and suffering was so great he couldn't even sleep. And he cried all night about it. Some of you in this room, you cry at the drop of a hat. Some in this room, it takes quite a bit to get you to cry. I remember I've seen my dad cry two times in life. His parents had died before I was born. My mom says he did it then. But then one time, it was raining outside, and he decided that there was a leak on the roof, so he went up on the roof to fix it. And next thing I know, he's in the house. I'm like 10 years old, and he's in his office, and my mom sees him. He's crying at the desk in the office, and the checkbook's right underneath him. So she thought, uh-oh, money's really bad. No, he fell off the roof and hit his head, and he broke his arm. That's why there were tears in his eyes that time. But literally, it's happened very few times. And David, being the man of war that he was, and being who David was, I don't see David going out to battle with Goliath. Goliath, you got your sword and spear, but the Lord's going to help me kill you. No, I don't see that happening. I don't see David being a crier, okay? But it says that's how it got in his life. He's crying. The pain, it was so great, he couldn't sleep. And you know that, and sleep's important. There are a lot of times, a lot of the mental anguish we go through is because of a lack of sleep. You look at Elijah. Elijah suffered deep depression and felt like everybody was against him. What does the Lord do? Go to sleep. And what does the angel do? He wakes up, here's some food, go back to sleep. Sometimes the best thing you can do through your anxiety and through your depression is just to sleep some. Now, don't stay in bed all the time. That's the other side of it and all of that. But David, his pain and things were so great, he just couldn't. He couldn't sleep. And then not only did that, was that going on, but number four, his enemies were gloating over him and rejoicing in his suffering. Man, it's one thing to be going through physical pain. It's another for that mental anguish to be there. But it's a total another for your enemies and those out there to be rejoicing while you're down. And that's why as a Christian, the Bible's clear that we should rejoice with those that do rejoice and weep with those that weep and bear one another's burdens. That's what God's called us to as Christians. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We see David prayed to God for healing. He described his condition. He couldn't bear it any longer. And then today I want to give you just some thoughts about healing and things. Let her see. There are three ways that God heals today. Number one, it's through that guy on the TV. No, just kidding. That wasn't what I was going to say. I was making sure he didn't go there. Saw someone a while back. They had a tent set up. $10 healings. I almost pulled up, but I didn't have anything I needed healed at the moment. But I would have, I thought about pulling up and offering him $100 to go to 10 hospital rooms and to heal the 10 people in those hospital rooms for me. It doesn't work that way. Sometimes God heals naturally, and it happens. Our bodies and the way God made, you think about this, the way God made the human body. It's amazing the machines that they are. and the immune systems and all that God's given to us. That's why I'm not going down a road that's going to put, be careful what you put into that body. Be careful what you let the government put into that body. Do your research on things before you just take anything the government tells you that you should take. And I'm not saying I'm against taking things, because I'm not. But I would make sure, but it's amazing what the body does and the recovery of the human body and what happens. And sometimes, number two, sometimes he supernaturally heals us. God's still in the business of healing. You know, just Sandy just went home. She was supposed to be in the hospital till who knows when. And then she calls me yesterday, I'm home. I'm like, were you that bad that they sent you home because you got after the nurses that much? And she said, no, that wasn't it. But, you know, one thing that she said, they did an ultrasound or whatever again, and they cannot find the blood clot. The blood clot's gone that she has. I think God took that away. And God sometimes does that. And then number three, sometimes he heals ultimately and finally. That's the ultimate healing. One way or another, God does heal. But he doesn't always do it in our timetable or the way that we think. But to be with him, the ultimate healing. What a blessing that is to know that the Lord, he hears us. And David goes to God and prays to God to heal him. He tells him how it's going. He tells him he can no longer take it. But then how David closes the psalm, and this is one of the reasons why I believe prayer is so important. We see number three and lastly this morning that David declares his confidence in God. I believe that it's so important in the Christian life. Why prayer is so important? It gets our eyes off of us and gets our eyes on him. That's what's so important about prayer. Because, yes, David's saying, God, this is how I feel. This is what's happening in my life. This is how I'm doing. But you'll notice there's a big shift in the verses. It goes from saying how bad everything is to verse number 8 out of nowhere, depart from me. Wow, and some people say, some commentaries say, well, this was written well after God healed him. This wasn't written the same time the rest of the psalm was. There is no proof of that anywhere. It's all one psalm. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Now, why I believe this was written at the same time? He doesn't say he's been healed, does he? The Lord healed me of everything I asked him. Now, what does he say? The Lord heard my voice when I was weeping. The Lord heard my supplication. The Lord received my prayer. Do you see that right there? Do you notice he was confident in God and what he could do? God hadn't healed him yet, but God heard him. And David's like, I trust him. It's going to be okay. Psalm 55:22, an awesome psalm. Cast thy burdens unto the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Say, I just can't take it anymore. Have you gone to the Lord? Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. It's a great psalm with some great truths. Pain and physical pain and physical sickness is no fun. Mental anguish is no fun. But you got a God in heaven that cares. And David went to God and said, Lord, I need your help. I need you. And then I just see the difference in David. David was a different man the last three verses than what he was the first seven verses. And he wasn't healed and everything was magically wonderful. He knew that God heard him. And he placed his trust and confidence in the Lord and what he could do. And that's what we need to do today. You can't put your trust in doctors. You can't. I don't know if you realize what are doctors doing. They're practicing. Remember that. They're practicing. And you are the guinea pigs they're practicing on, you and I. They're literally practicing. They don't know. And someone a while back, they went on some anxiety medicine for something. And whatever the case is with those things, you do as the Lord leads you. I'm not for or against. You do what the Lord leads you to do in those areas. Don't take me with them. But they said literally they put them on four different ones over a period of 8 months because they just didn't work, these different ones. And they had to find the right one that worked, but they didn't know till they tried. That's just scary when you think about that. You cannot put your trust in doctors, put your trust in human things, but you can trust God today.